This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Easy.
You want to drive or can I drive?
Bank robbery suspects have taken an ambulance.
I got a cop shot. Gotta get him to the hospital.
We're doing hostages now.
Yeah! I came to you for a loan.
You're my brother. Have I ever gotten you anything that I couldn't get you out of?
Lock everything down.
We're just trying to get home.
We don't get to walk off into the sunset.
I have a plan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. Today, or rather this week, we've got a double review week for you, and they're both action movies, although they're really, really deeply different in nature. So we're going to kick off with the latest from Michael Bay. It is a true Michael Bay production, Ambulance.
True Michael Bay production, I think, needs to be on the poster and on the tagline because, like, this is Michael Bay doing Michael Bay to the best of Michael Bay's efforts. And you know what? To give him lots of credit, I feel like if you went in knowing that's what you were going in for, it actually ends up being one of those movies that you can laugh at and have fun with and lots of eye candy in multiple spinning drone heavy angles. I'm never going to say this was a great film, but I do think that I had fun for what it's worth.
Same. You know how sometimes you joke about a thing and then that joke takes on a life of its own? Like the meme becomes bigger than the thing that you're joking about. Michael Bay is bigger than his own joke. Like Michael Bay is bigger than his own meme, and he keeps proving his meme as something smaller than the person itself. Because he's so much more bombastic in these movies. Like you don't think he can get any worse, and then he does with a movie like Ambulance. And it's so shockingly bad. It's so shockingly dumb. But at the end of the day, I also enjoyed it a lot. Like I had a good time in the cinema, not because of Michael Bay, but in spite of Michael Bay.
Yeah, so I think we're all on the same page here. It's hard not to be on this page with Ambulance because it really is a big, dumb, fun movie. I'm not sure that the people in it necessarily thought that that was the movie that they were making, which I think we can get to, but that's part of what makes it fun. And it's worth saying that Michael Bay, yes, but also it stars Jake Gyllenhaal doing like a 110% kind of performance. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Issa Gonzalez, and they're really just kind of going for it. The film is very simply summarized. It is a chase film in which two would-be bank robbers who are also in a sort of adoptive brother family situation get into a high-speed chase in an ambulance after an aborted bank robbery.
You might wonder how long you can stretch that premise. And apparently the answer is quite long, because when they say ambulance, almost the entirety of this film actually takes place within an ambulance. And whatever else you think about the film, I thought that the ability to do that, the ability to glean and squeeze out that much drama within this confined space, that for me was quite fun, even when it went to ridiculous heights, right? Like surgery being performed remotely at the back of an ambulance. Like you keep wondering what else can happen within this vehicle that you couldn't think of. I think for what it's worth, it was good that they had actors like Yahya Abdul-Mateen and Jake Gyllenhaal, because otherwise this movie is just a big pile of nothing, right? But then when you have this kind of crazed Jake Gyllenhaal, like giving it everything he's got, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen bringing some kind of emotional depth sometimes, you feel like, okay, I'll buy it. I'll buy the nonsense this is selling.
So the interesting thing is, I think it's a whole lot of nothing that's full of everything. And I think that is Michael Bay's sort of talent. It's the movie has no weight. Like it, you don't need to watch it at all. But when you're watching it, you get everything that you paid for. So if you're going to cinema to watch it, then you get like good sound, you get good visuals, you get all the Michael Bay vehicular chaos and action. And I think in that sense, he's giving you your money's worth. So if you are buying into a Michael Bay film, you're getting a Michael Bay film with this film, with Ambulance. You know, you're not going to be shortchanged in any way.
No, I mean, it's like we said, right? He's stretching out a very singular premise into a 2 hour plus film. And there are times where you do feel it lag, especially when we literally slow down the ambulance and then you're like, what is this? What is the point of this anymore? But I think broadly, for me, what stood out was, the lengths to which we could actually conceivably extend this this conceit, and we could actually keep going for quite some time. The second was how monumentally bad everybody is at everything in this movie. Yeah. Because I think if the people in it were actually good, with the exception of our paramedic, who is, you know,
the best in the city.
Mm.
The best in the city, 20 minutes. And this time she managed for 2 hours, y'all. So imagine that. Mm. The other central characters, like, everybody is really bad at their job. The getaway driver didn't check his vehicle. You know, the supposed most brilliant bank robber that the FBI has been chasing for years says he has an airtight plan, which falls apart within 5 minutes.
He's been doing this since he was 17.
None of this is a spoiler. It's in the trailer. It's all in the trailer. And so, like, just the degree and also this supposed fantastic Kabul-hardened driver needs everyone around him to continuously say, "What a driver, man. That's a military move. What a driver." And you're like, okay, fine. But I think that's really, for me, what delighted me, the realization that this movie kind of exists, but also while existing, acknowledges all its own flaws. It's a very strange sort of relationship, I think, that viewers end up having with the movie.
Yeah, no, I kept wondering again and again whether the people who made this film, the people who are in this film, realize how bad this film is and whether they're leaning into it or whether they're very earnest and unfortunately have just ended up here. Because the bank robbery is a great example. Any casual watcher of any heist film could have come up with a better bank robbery plan than the one we actually see executed in this movie by supposedly one of the best bank robbers ever. And yet they all act like everyone thinks this is a brilliant plan. So I'm really not sure where the film thinks it wants to hit. I mean, I don't know. Perhaps that's the joy of a so bad it's good kind of viewing experience, right? There needs to be a certain degree of earnestness or a certain degree of commitment and passion to doing what they're doing, because trying to be bad doesn't always work. However, aiming high and then falling gloriously sometimes can. And I think this one somehow does manage to do it. A lot of that, I think, also has to do with just the visual excitement of everything you see. I mean, even when things don't make sense, even when the action is ridiculous, even when you didn't need 4,000 points of view from a drone of one event, you never get bored, because before you even process what you've seen, you get a new thing to look at.
Did you guys also feel like every 30 minutes or so, there's something new in the movie to get your attention or grab your attention?
Yes.
And Michael Bay does that all the time, right? He has a movie that means absolutely nothing, and then every half hour or so, he'll introduce like a character or like a plot line or a plot device or something where you go like, ooh, okay, I'm going to pay attention for like 5 minutes. And then you see like 30 minutes has passed. And then again, someone else pops up and you're like, ooh, I'm going to pay attention for 5 minutes. And then the other 30 minutes has passed. And that's how his movies flow. And in that sense, there are a couple of scenes that actually got me. There's no logic in any of them. But because the suspense was so silly and was built up in such a way, it actually got, like, I jumped. Like, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, and we can't say what it is, but I jumped. I was like, oh, that happened.
I think it's a mixture of introducing new characters. Mm. It's a mixture of introducing new complexities. It's very much an ad libs kind of movie, Mad Libs kind of movie. It's like, okay, so we've got an injured cop. What can we do to make the situation more riveting? You know, how can we manage this? Okay, let's just leave him for a while. In a little bit, I'm just going to poke a finger in his spleen. Why not? You know, and there are all these things that happen. And the cop, guys, is us. We are cop. Cop is us. Like, that's really how it works. We just sit there. And then every so often, there's going to be like a like an electric jolt of like a, you know, like a charged finger to your forehead going, watch me.
Wake up.
And then we're back.
No, I love that this film that really is only about three people or something, has a cast of what seems like thousands, okay? Like for the heist, he introduces about 40 different people. For the chase, he introduces another 20. And then later at some point, there'll be another 20 people, all with like backstories and personalities and quirks, you know, like one guy wears sandals, another guy, I don't know, seems to like talking in a certain way. One has a relationship with his dad. Like, who cares? And yet somehow you do. Like each time something comes up, you're like, hey, that's Trent who likes sandals. Like, like why? I don't know why, but I'm there lah for the ride.
But at the same time, there are people who show up like in the 2 hour mark of the movie and you're like, oh, this guy looks familiar. And then you realize that they showed yes. up in like the first 5 minutes of the movie and then they disappeared. And you forgot entirely that they were in the movie.
I struggled with that. It took me out of the world of LA for a second. I was like, hold on. In the context of the film, because they are meaningful glances, right?
Yes, we're clearly... And you're like, not sure why.
Exactly.
Or who.
None of this is a criticism, though. I think that's the crazy thing. Also, in line with what we were saying earlier about the every 30 minutes, you introduce something new, you keep going. Guys, do we stop? We don't stop. Watch the movie and you will understand how deeply emotive that reference is. We're talking today about Michael Bay's Ambulance. We'd like to know. It's been very heavily advertised, actually. So have you seen it yet? Do you plan to? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
What's going on in there? These guys are nut jobs.
Right here it is! Sailing
takes me away. Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And together we are... It's not even hate enjoying. It's earnestly enjoying while knowing it's a terrible film. Ambulance, which is what we're talking about today. Let's talk about Jake Gyllenhaal, because honestly, the beating crazy heart of the entire film rests in that man and his crazy beating eyes, because like the degree of commitment that he is giving to this kind of unhinged person who spouts non sequiturs and does strange things is really remarkable. And it kind of gives the film, I want to say, gravitas. I don't know.
There is one scene that I am convinced they only engineered so that they could put a mask on Jake Gyllenhaal and show us his true crazy eyes. Because there's no need for him to put on a mask. Everyone knew who he was at this point.
They called each other by their names.
Yes, yes. That's how ill-planned this robbery is. And yet, I can only describe Jake Gyllenhaal's energy in this film as half suburban dad at the end of his rope and half psychotic murderer. And I love how well he just switches from this to the other, yelling about traffic jams in the one hand and then threatening to like straight up shoot someone in the head off of a driving ambulance in the next scene. Like, I love it. I love what he brought to this film. I don't know whether he realizes what he's done. I don't even know why he's in this movie, because I mean, he's a good actor, but I'm glad he is.
I think he just understood the assignment, like from day one. He knew exactly what he signed up for, and then he dialed it to 11 because he knew the kind of movie that he was in. I think there's a stark contrast between Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Bay, in the sense that I think Michael Bay believes his own hype, and he thinks people want him to be more and more ridiculous. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal knows that he's a good actor, and he knows how to play bad so well, in the sense that he knows that it's hammy acting, he knows he's chewing scenery, he knows that nothing in the movie calls for him to be this good at what he does. And yet, he just goes there because he's having fun. And it's nice to see, I think. It's nice to see someone at that point in their career just taking it easy.
How dare you say easy? Come on.
He was sweating in cashmere, all right? Like, it's not easy at all. I think what struck me was also, I wanted to talk a bit about Michael Bay's style. So not just across the swooping and the drones and the swirling and the sunsets, but... this new fascination with tall buildings is not new, but the amount of recurring tall building swoopy shots in this movie was one thing. The other thing is, he's talked often before, and he said about this movie that he's a fast shooter. Like, he does not believe in dwelling or in taking many days to set things up.
It shows.
It shows. And I think in this movie in particular, it really, really shows. There is one scene with a stunt it is not Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, I don't even, I'm not going to name the scene, but I know that everybody who watches it, who even has a passing familiarity with Jake Gyllenhaal's face, will watch that scene and go, who is that person? And then start to recognize, oh, I see, it's a stunt person who didn't even bother to wear a wig, apparently. And so there are all these things that go into making the movie look and feel very slapdash. And I think that that's, again, part of the enjoyment. Everything I'm saying sounds like a criticism, and I suppose technically it is, but it contributed towards me having a good time at the movies.
At this juncture, I think it's worth saying that the movie is actually a remake of an indie Danish film that's about two brothers struggling to save, I think, the life of their mother by stealing an ambulance. By performing a heist on an ambulance. So having known that, and then having read an interview where Michael Bay says this was him trying to do something character driven, and all of those things you just said, Lynn, I'm thinking, this is Michael Bay doing indie.
The fact that he references his own movies,
yes. You
know, and not even like shot in short bursts, like it's lengthy dialogue about his own movies.
The Rock, what else? There are a bunch of lines that are straight up just his own films.
From his own films. That tells me that he thought that this was a serious project. Another thing I was thinking about is, do you think the ambulance is going to go down in history as one of the famous movie vehicles, like the DeLorean or the Beetle from Italian Job or the Batmobile? Because after a while, if this becomes like a cult favorite, let's say, do you think it's going to... Because it's a character, right? The ambulance is a thing in the movie, not just
and
a vehicle.
Well used, I must say. Really well used.
Yeah, I agree that it's well used, particularly when it's in the sort of locked room setting where it's just the three of them trying to negotiate that space. I hesitate because I kind of don't want it to be. Like, in the case of Speed, they had an impetus to keep it going at a certain speed, which meant that a bus that's normally like a lumbering, clunky thing could feel very exciting. This ambulance, however, feels like an ambulance. So I don't know if I necessarily see it elevated in the same way as I do like a runaway bus, for example.
Can we talk about Yahya Abdul-Mateen? Because, you know, as an actor, I really like him. But I do think he makes really poor career choices because he's such a good actor. He's such great screen presence. And yet, here he is in this film. I mean, he's nice. I would have loved to see more from him or more from his character. I like the chemistry he has with Jake Gyllenhaal, really. There are bits where you can see the frustrated sibling relationship that I feel would have worked so much better. But he always ends up in these two-bit roles.
I'm sorry to say, but I think he didn't understand the assignment because he was taking it way too seriously.
I know. He was in a totally different film.
Yeah. I enjoyed his performance, but I don't think he knew exactly what he signed up for.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I think that he actually was best when he was alone. There's a sequence at the beginning. He opens the film, actually, ostensibly to give the film its emotional heart. And I think that sequence, you're like, oh, okay. I get it. This is about, somebody who really needs to do something for their family, who's driven by this. And then he goes off into Crazy Town and there's like a warehouse scene with Jake Gyllenhaal with about 50 cuts across 5 minutes. And you start to recognize like, oh, okay. I'm not sure that this sort of rather serious, introspective kind of performance is suited for this particular film. So I don't know. I think part of it is how it's written as well. It's worth saying that he was a replacement. So, I mean, a replacement casting. So I don't know whether there's a bit of that as well. I wanted to also say that this is clearly the most woke Michael Bay movie ever.
I know. I was going to say, replacement casting and all aside, he made it. He thought he made it work, didn't he? I mean, brought in the race element, talked about how when you're African-American, how you're treated, and when you're adopted to a white family. I mean, who would have thought you'd see this kind of subtext in a Michael Bay film?
I actually didn't see any of that. I think I was in the sound of like explosions and a weird ambulance like got to me. I didn't see any of the subtext. But you're right. I mean, has there been a Michael Bay movie that's more sort of like diverse subject-wise and cast-wise?
So Transformers.
Or Autobots and Decepticons, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. Bringing robots together. I was going to say people, but not really. I think this movie, you can see the strings in there of Michael Bay trying to be politically correct in the ways that he talks about certain characters or the way characters talk about one another. The fact that the female lead stays in the same outfit throughout. There are no kind of signature horrible shots of lingering on her figure. You know, just the stuff that you normally associate with how Michael Bay shoots women in particular. None of that is here. And I felt like at the end of the whole film, I just left it thinking, wow, he really thinks he did something with this. And you know what? I'm happy. Growth is good. But I also think the film remains what we said at the start.
How much more Michael Bay are we up for? I mean, I'm curious, right? Because it's fun to talk about his films in a particular way. And I feel like I'm always up to watch one of them. And in his own way, they're as conversation generating as actual good film. But I'm wondering how much more can we do without starting to feel like, well, it's all kind of, I'm kind of over it.
I don't know. I mean, we paid for this movie. I think that's worth saying. So that's kind of it. It's an important note because it just shows that even at this point, even after all the Transformers movies and things like Six Underground, that we are still willing to fork out actual money and pay for one of his films. So I think, I don't know, maybe it's the marketing, maybe it's just him, maybe you just want to have, like, you want to switch off your brain in the cinemas, but I think we will keep going back for Michael Bay. I think I have a tolerance to Michael Bay's movies as well, like, because I forget them the moment I watch them.
Same.
Yeah. So I can do more.
Yeah, me too, I think. Partly because, yeah, there was a space in between us talking about this tonight and also me watching it. And I realized as I left, like, retain, you need to do this, it's for work. And otherwise, it would just have left. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with 2 hours being spent entertained without needing it to have a whole lot more meaning. I think everybody gets caught up and hung up on meaning and artistry when it comes to film sometimes. So we need Michael Bay as a counterpoint to that. I'm fine. We've been talking today about, well, a lot to do with Michael Bay, but also about his latest film, Ambulance, which stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and Issa Gonzalez. We'd like to hear from you. Have you seen it? Do you plan to? Did you like it? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.